Marcel, Voté, Colista, thank you, Lord Jesus. God's Word and God's Action Day is part four. Sorry, the two series will be taken today. You really ought to have been part of the midweek services so you can know where we are coming from. But just relax. God's Word is going to bless you. God's Word is going to bless your soul, your body, for you are already blessed in your spirit. Amen. Say, God lives in me. Say, I'm a mobile carrier of God's blessings. How many of you saw the message I posted on WhatsApp this morning? How many? Very few of you. Yeah, you don't check. Okay, maybe you don't have the time. Anyway, so just let's flow together. Are you ready? 1 John 1, verse 5. So, from the previous series, study, we have done part 1, 2, 3. This is part 4, right? God's Word and God's Action, right? This is part 4. So, we have established that God does not do evil. Amen? Say God. Say our God does not do evil. Say our God does not orchestrate evil to arrive at a good end. That's the point. At times they will say, well, God does not do evil, but at times he can use small evil to prevent a bigger evil. No, God can... God is not that cage in the corner that he doesn't know what else to do than to kill a man to prevent another disaster. Are you with me? So 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Can we take this together? Once ago, when I say take this together, I mean everybody, you open your Bible. Come on. You are still not ready for church. What do you want? You want some praise and worship, right? Amen. When my choirs, when they are back, they will give you much of that. Okay, 1 John 1, verse 5. One to go, yes. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no what? Darkness. Say God is light. And say in our God, no darkness at all. Say God is light. Say in our God, no darkness at all. Say evil is darkness. Say therefore, God does not do evil. Because in our God, come on, say it. No darkness at all. Okay, next thing we have established also that God does not make man to sin. God does not make man to sin. He didn't make Adam sin. Some people say because God has a plan, he had to make Adam sin so that his plan can be fulfilled. No, sorry, that is anti-scripture. That is alien to the scriptures. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Come on. Romans 5 verse 12. Romans chapter 5 verse 12. Okay, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. Is it by God or by man? It's by man. And death by sin. So death came by sin, not death came by from God. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So death came by, is it man or God? Man or God? James chapter 1 verse 13, be fast. Today is you have a lot to open today. You didn't open at all, you opened like 65 scriptures. Can count it for me. James chapter 1, verse 13. James 1, 13. Please, take care, please. One to go, let's read. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. Read that again, one to go. Let no man say when he is tempted, yes, I'm tempted of God. Why? For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempty. Next verse, let me see you read, yes? Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and what? Enticed. Then lust conceived, bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth. Next verse, read to your neighbor, yes? Do not err, my beloved. Tell somebody, I say, do not err. So that would mean don't be confused. Don't mistake the character of God for something else. Don't compromise it. Do not err. Don't think God is the one that brought that situation your way to bring in a better good. No, do not err. Say I won't err. So the next one. Now this is a tricky one. This is a tricky one. God does not. Please write this down carefully. God does not judge the sinner for his sin. This is the one where we enter problem. And this is one we have been studying for a while. God does not judge the sinner for his sin. Rather, he judged his son for our sins. God does not judge the sinner for sins. Brother, who did he judge? He judged his son. He judged Jesus. So see James, I'm sorry, John 5:22. This is the one that a lot are just trying to comprehend. How can I say God does not punish people for sin? He doesn't. When Psalm 130 verse 5, 6 says, if God will mark iniquity, who will stand? Huh? If God will mark iniquity, who will stand? No one. He said, but there is forgiveness within them that might be filled. So I said, John chapter 5, verse 22. Can we take this together? One to go. Let's read with me. For the Father judges. How many man? Again, read again. For the Father. Okay, how else should we, how clearer do you want scripture to be? Read again, yes? For the Father judges, how many man? Say no man. Say none. No, read the latter part. But at what? Committed all judgment unto the Son. And I told you, thou committed there is the same Greek word, didomi. It's not saying, I'm not going to judge the world. Jesus, go and judge them. No. Rather than judging the world, what did he do? He ministered, he didomi, he transferred the judgment of the world on the Son. He ministered it unto him. He gave the judgment of the world, he placed it on Jesus. So when Jesus was on the cross, when he said in that John chapter 12, now is the judgment of this world, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. If I be lifted up, I will draw all your judgment unto me. So on the cross, Jesus was our judgment. Say, Jesus was my judgment. That's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he made him to be sin for us. He took your sin. While we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man should what? Lay down his life for his friends. Amen. He made intercession for the transgression. He made his grave with the wicked. All we like sheep gone astray, everyone going to his own way, but God laid on him the what? Iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Okay, so also, okay, I've read this. See, same John 12:47. John 12:47. Please ensure you open scriptures. John 12:47. If any man hear my words and believe not, what happens? I judge him not. So even the unbeliever is not going to help as a result of God's direct judgment. That is his own way. That is what he's looking for, and he will get it. See the latter part. For I come not to judge the world, but to save the world. 48. Want to go? Let's read. He that rejected me and received not my words, hath one that judgeth me, judgeth him. The word that what? Okay, although in this place it's written, I have spoken in the King James, but when we do the analysis very well, it's not the words that Jesus is speaking. Because don't forget, verse 47, he said, I judge him not. So why would Jesus say, I'm not judging you, but my words will judge you? That will not be coherent with scripture. So he said, I judge him not. Sorry, I lost myself there. At one that judge him, the word that he has spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. See verse 49, want to go? Now, if you don't understand why I said it's not the words that Jesus has spoken there, it's rather the words that the man is speaking. See again, Matthew 12:37. Be fast, come on. Matthew 12:37. Today is just a look through the Bible. Both sermons that we're having today, you'll just be looking through the Bible. You'll just be rushing, not like rushing, but looking through at a high pace. Okay, Matthew 12:37. Want to go? Let's read. Yes? For by thy words thou shalt be what? Justified. And by whose words? I need you to read your Bible. Come on, read again. Yes? For by thy words thou shalt be justified. And by thy words thou shalt be condemned. So how will the man go to where is his word? When you bring the gospel to a man and he says no to your words, what will happen? Is that his own response to the gospel that will what? Damn him or what? Save him. Are you getting it? That is response to the gospel. That's why I love quoting that scripture for you. He that has believed his testimony as what said to his own seal that God is true. That's John 3:33, right? So he that has believed his testimony. So it is your response. Your response to the good news. That is what determines heaven or hell, eternity or damnation. It's your response to the gospel. Next one. So we have. So what's the first subheading? I said, God does not do evil. Also, God does not make man to sin. Thirdly, I said, God does not judge the sinner for his sin. The next one is, God is not partial. Please, if you don't understand any of the things I'm saying, that would mean you have to get part 1, 2, 3. This, we have been doing a long study over the week. This coming week too, we'll be having another stretch of study. Please make yourself available. Amen? Say, I delight in God's word. Thank you. So, also, God is not partial. He's not partial. We have seen that. See, Acts chapter 10, verse 34. God is not partial. Is not partial. Acts 10, 34. Good. Want to go? Let's take it. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that what? God is no respecter of persons. Leave rest there. Go to James 2, verse 9. The first, God is no respecter of persons. So that would mean you must be careful the way you interpret when you are saying he loved Jacob, he hated Esau. You must understand what he's saying there. You must understand the point. Is that hatred? Is it any experiential hatred? Is it talking about any particular vendetta against Esau? No. It's talking clearly about the promise of the Messiah, which must definitely come through a man, not every man. And I have told you, Esau was prosperous. We saw it in the Bible. In fact, Esau had more money than Jacob. Esau had servants. Esau was not poor because the Bible says God hated that. It's just saying he preferred. Same way when you saw Ishmael and Isaac, he preferred Isaac. Why? This is the child of the promise. It doesn't mean that Ishmael was now broke or Ishmael was now died young or something. No. Say our God is not partial. See, I say James 2, verse 9. Want to go? Let's read. For if you have respect to persons, you commit sin. Wow. And you are convinced of the law as what? Transgressions. Go to 1 Peter 1, verse 7. Sorry, 1 Peter 1, 17. 1, 17. 1 Peter 1, 17. You learn to open your Bible fast. You write, you open. You write, you open. Many don't like this pattern of service. When we just come, we look at God's word, look at God's word, look at God's word. Say, what is this? What is this? What is this? When are we going to? 1 Peter 1, verse 17. Yes, 1:17. Want to go? If you call on the Father, who without what? Respect of persons, judged according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here with fear. Say, God has no respect of persons. Say, it does not, it's not partial. So now, if you are only reading your Bible like a literature, you are not liable to see this. You won't see it. You won't see these points. If what you just do is just pick Bible, you read that like literature, you won't see these points. That is why we emphasize contextual reading. Say contextual reading. Say contextual reading. What's my context? That means you read everything. You just heard the Bible say God was angry with the old world. He destroyed everybody with flood. Please, don't just read that and you go to sleep. Read everything. Read the stories that surrounds those circumstances. There are things that you are likely not seeing there. Amen, sir? Good. So, contextual reading is just the savior of Bible interpretation. You must follow the context. Write that down. Contextual reading is the savior of Bible interpretation. I can help him to put that one in a readable quote. Contextual reading is the savior of Bible interpretation. So don't be carried away. Don't err. Don't be misled by the documentation. Don't enter into error. You just hear God did this, God did that. Be patient. Read everything. Don't look for key points in the Bible. The Bible is for learning. Anywhere you go and they just read one verse of the scripture for you in a week and say in Jesus' name, that is not going to bless you. It's not going to help you. The Bible is labor. You sit there, you labor on it, you look at it again. Amen. Don't just read one line and you now use that one to form an opinion of God. Rather, you ask for that. How did it happen? How did he do it? Okay, let me just give you one, like maybe a kind of example. For example, you just heard in the news that Obasanjo jailed this man. Ah. Any unlearned man will just say, why Obasanjo is a wicked man? Why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why did he jail that man? Rather, maybe if you had read, we have what is called headlines, right, in papers. Headlines can really confuse you. You just saw something like a man killed himself and ran away. A man cut off his head and ran away. You know what I'm saying? Somebody cut off his own head and he was running away. They will just use that one as a catcher. So if you are not patient, so now read that. How can a man cut off his own head and yet still can run away? Amen. Is that a figure of speech? Who can interpret that word? A man cut off his head and ran away. Oxymoron. Oh, Jews of God. Hallelujah. So, for instance, I was saying, Obasanjo jailed a man. Maybe the man, you didn't read for that to see that, okay, well, this man that was jailed, number one, he stole the state funds, he embezzled, and Obasanjo appointed judges, and the judges judged the man by the constitution and sent him to jail. But the headline will only say what? Obasanjo was jailed him. Are you with me? So, but by the time you now read these details, you will likely not see Obasanjo active in the jailing process. The only activity of Obasanjo would have been maybe he appointed what? Judges. Simple. He didn't even determine the constitution. He didn't determine the consequence of the actions. He just said, you guys, please, you are in charge of this. Same way Moses was in charge of Israel. A lot of things that happened around the children of Israel will be traceable to Moses. Egypt is still strictly almost anti-God today because nobody has been able to explain to them that it's not God that was fighting them. In Exodus. Are you with me? So we can explain God. So be patient to read everything. So today I will be giving you a lot of conclusion from understanding, from study. Some I have explained before, others I will explain later. But today you will just be want to look through, like, let me say, Acts of the Apostles and Romans, majorly. Maybe a bit of 1 Corinthians, then we stop this here for now. Acts 2:23. Don't forget the topic, God's word and God's action. At times you hear that God did this. Please ask for that. How? Are you with me? Are you ready? It's a long journey. Please, Acts 2:23, and I'll give you an assignment. Everybody. Okay, Luke 23, Acts 2, yes, 24. Want to go? Whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that it should be what? Holding of it. Now you just saw scripture say what? God raised up Jesus. You ask, okay, did God enter hell? You know, when Jesus died for our sins, he went to where? He went to hell. Amen? He went to hell. So you now ask, okay, so Jesus, God entered hell, and God saw plenty of people in hell, and he only brought out Jesus. Why? Then that would mean God would be partial. Are you with me? Because everybody in hell, whether you are Jesus or you are Muhammad, sorry, whether you are Jesus or you are, sorry, that's actually a mistake. I mean, whether you are Jesus or you are, Jesus and Muhammad, they didn't even live in the same age, amen? Muhammad lived about 400 AD. So, what I mean is that whether you are Jesus or you are Jezebel or anybody, you are a sinner. You enter hell because you are a sinner. So, no difference, amen? In hell, there is no special identity. So, why will God go and rescue one particular sinner? Because in hell, the common denominator is sin. So, it's simple. You ask, how did God bring him out of hell? This is the question. His incarnation. How did this happen? Mary was believed the word, right? Remember Luke 1, 36, 37. Be it unto me according to your word, right? So, somebody brought the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 unto you. Us a child is born, a son is given, government shall be upon his shoulder, his name shall be called Counselor, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, of the nations of the kingdom, there shall be no end, God shall give him the throne of David. Somebody brought all those prophecies, the word of God. CEO, please focus on this very well. Somebody brought the word, everything to Mary. And Mary said, yes, I believe. So, because a man received the word, Jesus was incarnated. How was he anointed? Isaiah 60. Jesus, in Luke chapter 4, it was delivered unto him the book of what? Isaiah the prophet, so he read it out. He's okay. The Spirit of the Lord God is what? Upon me. He has anointed me to preach the good news to the meek, anointed me to bind the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. So he preached, and that's it today, this day. Is this what? Fulfilled in your ears. So because of that, he was what? He was anointed. How did he die? He got to the cross. He put Psalm 22 in his mouth. My God, why have thou what? Forsaken me. Are you with me? So how did he? How was he raised from the dead? He got to hell and he put Psalm 16 in his mouth. You see Psalm 16, you see that one in Acts 2:27. Because thou will not leave my soul where? In hell. Neither will thou suffer thy only one to see corruption. So now, Bible only says God raised Jesus. But by the time you now read the sequence of events, how did God raise Jesus? Jesus confessed the word of God and came out of the grave. Amen. Praise God. Say the word of God. Is as powerful in heaven, in hell, on earth, everywhere. Acts 4:24. Sorry, this is not a study on salvation. This, we are looking at Bible interpretation. God's word and God's actions. Acts 4:24. If it is anything that I'm saying that is too far, I'm too fast, or you don't understand, that is why we are together here. Just write it down, tie it. Simple. Service closed here by 6 p.m. in the evening. Why are you scared? Okay, come on. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. When they had heard that, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord and said, thou art the Lord which hath made heaven and what? Earth and the sea and all that is in them. Right? All that in them is. Well, of course, this scripture says, who made heaven and earth? He said God, right? Hello, come on. If you have listened to understand Genesis, you will understand who made earth. At least I've left heaven for now. We'll see heaven. Will God made anything that can be corruptible? Hello? Will God make anything that can decay? So who made the earth that is decaying and wasting old, that is depleting? You can come on Tuesday. We'll start a series on that. Amen. I mean, our series too. So I will not. Of course, you have to look at Genesis 1 and 2 very well to see what is happening there. It's not just this. Let me say it again. If anything that God makes will be eternal, you will not be able to corrupt it. Are you with me? Nothing will be able to corrupt it. So if it's corruptible, it's not from God. Good. So next, Acts 4:31. So now that is enough where we saw the Bible say God made heaven and earth, but we understand that heaven and earth was made by the dynamism, by the interaction of God and man. Are you with me? Say God and man. Okay, at least it is clear now. At least the one you can see clearly in the Genesis, you saw that it was Adam that named all the animals, right? That one is clear from it. So it's definitely more than that. Come on, go to Acts 4:31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaking when they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and spake what? They spake what? The word of God with what? Boldness. So what would the word of God there mean? Which type of word of God did they speak with boldness? Sir? The gospel of Christ. So, of course, it calls it the word of God here, but we know that what he's talking about is they spoke the word of Christ. The gospel of Christ. Are you with me, brethren? Acts 5:4. Just put your eyes on the Bible. Just be reading, be looking at it. Acts 5:4. If you don't get this, go on www.edifyandassembly.org and then download part 1, 2, 3. Acts 5:4. Are you there? Okay, why it remains, was it not thy own? Was it not thy own? And after it was sold, it's talking about Ananias and Sapphira, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived these things in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto who? Unto who? Did Ananias lie to God or he lied to the man of God? Amen. So, Peter called lying to the man of God, lying to who? To God. Because don't forget, I told you this in several series. I said, if it is God that want to kill these people, as they were conceiving the lie in their house, what should they do? They should die there. Why should they get to church before they die? Are you with me? Why should Peter speak those words before they die? Amen. So who they lie to? Is the man of God that they lie to? God does not input sin lying to any man. Amen. Acts 5:29. Same Acts 5:29. I'm sorry if you have not been following us. This will really be so heavy for you to take because it's just haphazard conclusions. No, not haphazard anyway. It's from study, but it's just straight to the point to show you that at times the world will look like this, like Pastor Ezekiel. Give me a word. Pastor Ezekiel injured me. Something like that. If you just hear that, I say, wow. So in your brain, you just interpret that. That means Pastor Ezekiel took a dagger and what? Struck Pastor. In fact, some people will even describe that. In fact, you see this scenario. He was shooking like this. He was shooking. But if you are listening to the story, simply Pastor Ezekiel did not come for prayer. Simple. Therefore, Pastor was not happy. That's it. Have I said anything true? No. Amen. So you must understand how the word, the action and the words. Amen. That you hear that something, just like we love to say, you know, I said that if you in maybe around 1960, if you say a word like I was just mad yesterday. You say, you are mad. That would mean what? You ran mental. But that same word that that only meant insanity then, today you use it for what? I was angry. So that would mean you must always read context. What is actually happening? I have a long way to go. Where are we? What's the last one? Okay, thank you. Go to Acts 5:32. Acts 5:32, and we are his witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that what? Obey him. If you read that one casually, you say, okay, that means anybody, God just gives the Holy Spirit to anybody that obey him, to obey what? The people that obey the what? The gospel. People that believed in Jesus. So the Holy Ghost is not just any exclusive giving outside redemption. It's not just that God just decided you have the Holy Spirit. You not have tongues. You have tongues. You will have the gifts of healing. You have. No, it's in Christ that the gifts of God are what? Are given. Are you with me? Say giving redemption. So not just by his mighty power, no, but in redemption. There are things that God cannot do because he is powerful. E.g., God cannot just save a man because he is so powerful. He must die for your sin. So there's always a process. Amen? So God's power is not tyrannic. It's not tyrannical. Okay, rush to Acts 8:10. You just see several scenarios. You must interpret it clearly. Acts 8:10. To whom? Talking about the elements. It's sorcerer, right? The elements, or what is the name of this one? Acts 8:10. Simon the sorcerer, rather. To whom they all gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the what? Is the great power of God. So that would be a false conception. Are you with me? What they simply meant is that this man can do tricks, right? He can do wonders. But the way it is written, they call him the what? Great power of God. We know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Are you with me? So it's not any power of God. It's just what, if you just see a man that can do juju, can do touch and go, can do all those rubbish that Ujut and Brakim does in those days. Amen. So you saw a man that can do all those, and you just say, that one is a great power of God. It's just tricks and juju. Who knew Professor Pella? Eh? Has he done trick on you before? So just you see Professor Pella, just say, that one is a great power of God. Don't use that one to say, that one is a mighty man of God. So of course, that should be clear. Where are we? Acts 8. Okay, that is 12, right? Huh? Okay, so see Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the what? The kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both what? Men and women. What is that kingdom of God? Is it talking about taking over? Is it talking about a secret, some kingdom principles? Just read verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went what? Everywhere, preaching the what? Word. Verse 5, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached who? Christ unto them. So, what are the things concerning the kingdom of God? Preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God would mean preaching what? Jesus Christ. Anybody that is telling you that there are some kingdom principle, they want to kill you. They want to kill your, they want to short circuit your spiritual growth. What they simply do is that the same thing that some of us study in university, philosophy, and what else? Philosophy and psychology. They just max it together and say, well, if you want to matter, if for you to matter, you must what? You must gather. And if you don't gather, you will not scatter. So that you will not scatter. Where's my common one? Yes, you must acquire to refire so that you don't retire from your empire with an umpire in despair. You just could have said, yay! I won't shook you, God forbid. So some people, you bring your poetry, poetic knowledge to church. You now be using rhymes, you know. The Bible said, not all that glitters is gold. We say, wow. Nobody will say, Pastor, where, sir? It's not there. Everyone helps, don't help themselves. Just say, Pastor, sir, where is it? You say, yes, it's in Proverbs and 31 and 35, some past. It just cost something for you. And because you didn't bring Bible to church, it's okay, I'll shake it out too. Amen. Some people, their Bible, even their Bible app in their phone, is in the subfolder, under the subfolder, WhatsApp is sitting on it, Instagram is resting on it, what else? To go is still, you don't use to go again, Facebook, Twitter is, so the Bible, if you don't click the Bible, for it to load, it will just be loading, I'm coming out, it wants to come out like this, you go back, it will crash. You don't use it. Love what Pastor Nanga said. He said, when you don't bring your Bible to church, you make yourself what? A candidate for what? Deception. What you are saying is that, come and dupe me, Pastor. Dupe me. Because I will coach something for you. One strong grammar. For you to connect with the anointing. And Elijah kissed the shoe of the man. Elijah kissed the shoe of Elijah. Did you know that Elijah also kissed the shoe of Elijah? He said, man of your brethren, for you to get this anointing, you must kiss my shoe. Said, wow. I know, you remember that shoe that we saw that day in Waru? That one, maybe that one, maybe we kiss that one. See the shoe. Was shiny, gold. Like wine. I can't. Oh, God. I say, God, do you call me out to ministry? Say God's word and God's action. So where are we? So we are in, I'm saying there's no kingdom principle. Kingdom principle, this, that. Yeah, please focus on the word. Focus on doctrine. Okay, Acts 8, verse 20. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee. That's a proper one to follow what I'm just saying. Because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be what? Purchased with money. Say gift of God. What's the gift of God there? Does it mean talent? Singing talent? Does it mean dancing talent? What's the gift of God there? The gift of the Spirit. Speaking in tongues. That's what he's talking about there. But he puts this as the gift of God. Are you with me? See Acts 8:22. Just look at the Bible. Don't get tired. That's all you need to do in church. That is what we do here. We don't dupe you. We don't. Acts 8:22. Repent therefore. See, talking to the same man. Therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps, imagine, sit down. See, if perhaps, if in case, the thoughts of thy heart may be what? Forgiven thee. God has forgiven the man. It is Peter that is here to forgive the man. It's Peter we are waiting for. Acts 12 verse 5. Peter therefore, please, are you writing down stuffs? Hope you're writing down stuffs. Acts 12 5. Although I'm fast, it's meant to be like that. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayers was made without ceasing of the church unto who? Unto God for him. That is very valid. Prayers are made unto God. But is it that the prayers are to beg God so that Peter can be released? No. The prayers are focused on the situation. Are you with me? See, when we pray, you are not begging God to act on your behalf. When you pray, you are using the authority of God to make your life okay. You are using the authority at your disposal, your God-given redemptive authority to what? To make things work. So don't get it wrong. Do not err. Don't think when you pray is just that means okay. Now I pray. Somebody said, "Me, I've done my part. Oh, it's up to God. Now God, do your part. Oh, if you like, don't do. If God does not do, then I've done my part." Ah, no. Stay there until you see what you are looking for. Okay. Where are we? So go to Acts 13:48. When the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many, this one is key. Please look at this one. He said, as many as were ordained to what? Eternal life believe. Yeah. That would mean they were preaching. So it's only those that God has ordained before to be saved that they now believe. Abba, wait a minute. That would be contrary to the canon of the scripture. Rather, this one is even just bad construction. It's as many as believed were ordained to eternal life. Write it down. Write it down. It's not that when you are preaching the gospel, God will say, okay, this one, although you are preaching to him, but this one can never be saved, so don't bother. But I have ordained somebody. The man is in the White House. He's sitting in the Oval Office. Yes, those are the type of men that I have. Some of us, when you see some sinners, see somebody smoking ganja, say, yeah. Ah! Real sinner. Say Satan, that is your own tithe today. You know, as you are preaching, you give Satan his own tithe. When you now see a guy that is wearing suits, you know, one nice tie, like, you know, you understand? On Valentine's Day, red, you know, pink, everything. So, wow. I said, God, I know that you have sent me to such a man. So, how are you, brother? Say, I know you are born again, but I just want to, for you to be sure, you understand? I said, cool. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That what? Say whosoever. So there's no special selection for salvation. There is nobody that cannot be saved. If we can persist on them enough, we can persist, we can be persistent. I didn't think there's any man that cannot be saved. No matter how stony, stubborn the heart be, we just need one. If you are very stubborn, a stubborn man, we need a stubborn intercessor. Tell me, let Jesus say, I can never believe your gospel. Tell me that you need to, I will show you. You won't believe me, I will show you. You go to your house, you pray. You know, for example, we have stubborn tactics now. We all know it. If you pray 9 hours every day, Baba, this man will be saved. Do it every day for 1 year. Go and preach again. I say you will be saved. You won't be saved. Stubborn preachers. Amen. So the game is actually in our hand. So the more we never, the better. I'm serious. I'm simply saying the prayer we give the guy enough, like you will block his dream with salvation, block his, I'm not saying the prayer will change his will, but the prayer will just block him here. It's okay. What do you want? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Even the jailer, when he saw his prison operator, he said, yeah, what should I do? He no preaching. Hallelujah. We have signs and wonders. Glory to God. Are you with me? So where are we? It's as many as were what? As many as believed, they were ordained unto eternal life. Amen. Amen. Oh. Acts 14:22. We soon leave Acts. Don't worry. I know it's boring. That's church for you. Church is boring. Amen. You're supposed to be boring. Amen. But I know like so you're too young to know this song. Jesus. Okay. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith that we must through what? Much tribulation enter where? Into the kingdom of God. Please, to enter the kingdom of God there with me to finish your course with joy. To finish, it's more than just entering heaven. It's to finish your course with joy. Acts 17:30. Please, preachers, open this one before us. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all man everywhere to what? What determines that time? What determines? Okay, let me even ask you clearly. What do you think determined when that time of ignorance was over? What do you think? Now, see what he's saying. He said the times of this ignorance. He was talking about the idol worship. Now, he said the times of this ignorance. They were saying they had a temple to the unknown God. He now told them that at the time of this ignorance, God at what? got overlooked, right? Acts 17:30. Please don't stop me. Say, but now he commanded every man everywhere to what? Repent. What determined when that time was over and when he's now commanding? Huh? The preacher. It's not even when Jesus died. It's when Paul got there. The day God said, because he has now preached, he has expounded unto them. This is the way. This is the truth. Now he's commanding every man everywhere to what? To repent. Amen. So the preacher decides that. Are you with me? Are you with me? Okay. So Acts 20:21. Sorry, if you don't get all this, you have to stick closer to the church. You will understand your God. Acts 20:21. Acts 20:21. Where's my keyboard? It's brother Kelvin. You didn't bring my keyboard. It's Acts 20:21. So because of that, my preaching will extend for 3 more hours. Are you there? Come on. Your keyboard will cool down my soul. 20:21. Testifying both to the Jews and to also to the Greeks, repentance towards God, and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Please, in your mind, repentance towards God, which is faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you with me? There is no you repent towards God and separate. Then, you know, some people have seen repentance as you do restitution, everything you have stolen, you return. How do you repent towards God? Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. No more. Amen. And in the Greek, it's just kai. That one, this one is kai too. It means that is. So repentance towards God, which is faith towards. Are you with me, brethren? Anyway, I know you want to talk more about the restitution. I won't. It's simple. It's nowhere in the Bible. So, of course, if you know they can arrest you for something, please go and do the right thing. But what I'm saying is that it's not a condition for what? For salvation, for justification, to enter heaven, to all those things. It's a lie. Amen. Acts 22:14. All things are possible. Glory to God. Glory now. Glory now. For you, my plantain, I need it. Amen. I will take back my pound of flesh. Acts 22:14. Come on. Acts 22:14. And he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee that thou shouldest know his will and see that's just one, and that you should hear the voice of his mouth. How did the Lord choose Paul there? How did he choose that man? Huh? He believed the gospel and he received the ministry. Simple. Not any celestial choosing. Now you are seeing someone that is looking like God chose a man. But if you now read the story, the full account, if you know what now fully happened, is he believed the gospel. He received the ministry. But Bible wrote it as what God chose him. Are you getting it? So you will not interpret that choosing as, okay, God can choose you to serve God. God, you know what? Choose you to serve God. But you mean that God did not choose him. But today he didn't bring his notes again. He said, this one, God did not choose him. God chose these people. No, it's everybody's disposition to the gospel. Come on, come on, come on. Where are we? 22:14, right? So go to 23:3. This one is funny. Acts 23:3. Anywhere you see God in the Bible, just be careful. Read what is happening. Let's read 23:3. I want to go. Then said Paul unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whitest wall, for thou sittest to judge me after the law and commands me to be spitting contrary to the law. So, what is happening there? What is happening there? You condemning? Paul was angry. Simple. He's not even condemning. He was angry. Or do you see God smite him? So God will smite him. Paul was just angry there. It's nothing. It's not. So don't use that one to fall further and die. Are you with me? See verse 4. And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Is that nothing? Is it God's high priest? Is what? Moses' high priest. The law was given by who? Moses. Who is the only high priest of God? Jesus. Called an high priest after the order of who? Melchizedek. That is Jesus. Are you with me? Say God's word. God's action. I'm sorry if you don't like what I've been saying since. Acts 23:9. Okay. And there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken unto him, let us not fight against who? Let us not fight against who? How do they fight against God? Huh? By resisting God's word. So it's not fight against God, it's not that. Like some people read now, you go out, you just go and bring the story of Jacob. Say, Jacob wrestled with the Lord. No. Do not hear, my beloved brethren. Okay, leave Acts, run to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, verse 1. So it's epic. 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? God forbid, right? Please, actually, God forbid in that place, God was not there. He's simply saying, certainly not. It's not that it's God that you just remove in the Greek sense that God is not even there at all. It's not like God stopped it all. God is saying, he just says, certainly not. So God forbid is just like a way of saying, wallahi, no way. Give me an outside word for Tofia. Sorry, I don't know what that says. Amen. See Romans 8, verse 3. Romans 8, verse 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, what happened? God sending his own son in the world, likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. So how did God send his son? You heard now that God sent his son. But have you read how God sent his son? How? Through the what? Through the scriptures, through the utterances of the prophets. People prophesied. You see from Genesis 3, about Abraham, Genesis 22, you saw about when Isaac on Mount Moriah, he said, the Lord himself shall provide there was a lamb for the burnt offering. So how did God send his son? Through the utterances of the prophet. There is no celestial meeting between God and Jesus in heaven. Say, Jesus, okay, this is what you are going to do. You go and die for them. And say, you go and... No. How did God send his son? Through the what? Through the scriptures. Are you with me? That's our message. Our salvation. We explained a lot of this there. Also our Jesus. Romans chapter 11 verse 32. You start appreciating what I'm saying right now. When I give you some assignments, you see. Romans 11 32. For God hath concluded them all. This one is key. For God hath, is saying something that God did. He said, God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy on all. Yeah? He's saying God ensures some people will not believe so that he can have mercy on everybody. Aka, Abba. How did God conclude them in unbelief? Same way, how did God add in Pharaoh's heart? Huh? By what? By keep telling Pharaoh what Pharaoh does not want to do. I think I've explained that one so well in this place. Simple. You toast a girl, she says she doesn't want. And you now start sending her message every day. You are now sending flower to her table every day. Every day before she wakes up, you see 50 missed call. What will she do to you eventually? She will block your destiny. So before, initially, she's just your friend normally, right? And before, she didn't have a mind of blocking you. Why did she now decide to block you? Your persistence. Now, what you want, is that it's wrong? No. It's not that your intention is wrong, but because she does not want, and you kept insisting. Moses kept going to Pharaoh. So that going to Pharaoh, what did he do to Pharaoh initially? His heart was getting hardened, not God. So how did God conclude Israel in unbelief? The preachers kept telling them to forsake the law that they didn't want to forsake. And yet, God kept sending preachers, go and preach to them. Amen. So it's not any experiential adding of power or concluding them in unbelief. Go right to Romans 14 verse 4. Romans 14 verse 4. I'm almost done. 10 more minutes, I'll be done. Romans 14 verse 4. I'm not saying service is almost over. Romans 14, branch. Do you know where it is again? Who art thou that judges another man's servant to his own master is standard of fallen? Yea, he shall be holding up for what? God is able to make him stand. Say, God is able to make him stand. How? Annie, how? How will God make him stand? How will God make any man stand? How will God keep the man to keep appreciating faith? By who? Eh?
By right teaching, by the ministry gift, by instructions, by training, by the church.
So God is able to make him stand. Making him stand there is not that to keep him to enter heaven. No, he's talking about for him to be steadfast in the faith. So how will God keep him steadfast in the faith? Through what? Through preaching and teaching. Through the ministry gift. Amen? Not that God will make you stand. He will not make you stand. God will do once, let it. No, nope. Okay, I'm done with Romans for now. Rush to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Maybe this one will help you for more. I'll just do three more for you, and I will give you some assignments. 1 Corinthians 1:27. 1 Corinthians 1:27. This one will make you appreciate this teaching a bit more. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 1:27. But God has chosen the what? The foolishness of this world to confound the wise. You think that, so God hates the wise people. But he shows the what? The foolish things. You just read that and you want to form a doctrine on it. See, and what? He has chosen the weak things of this world to confound the things that are mighty. And the base things of this world. You say, if somebody will read this now, you think that, well, that means if once you are intelligent, once you are smart, God cannot choose you. Once you are wealthy, God cannot choose you. Once you are, so for you to serve God, what must you be? You must be what? Poor, wretched, damn, dull, 2 plus 2, 22, 1 minus 1, minus 15. You must be so daft, produce planting, you can't do it well, you spoil everything. You are just so dull. Amen. Amen, amen. But simple, just read what he's saying before. Verse 18. Are you there? Is it God's fault? Is it God that is selecting? Is it, we see 18? Come on, let's read together. One to go. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto all that are saved, it is what? Power of God. Verse 20. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this word? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of this world? 21. Read, yes. For after in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It has pleased God by the what? Foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Now, see 24. But unto them, unto them which are called, both what? Jews and Greek, Christ the what? Power of God and wisdom of God. See 25, yes. Because the foolishness of God is what? Wiser than men. And the weakness of God is what? Stronger than men. I missed the verse there. That should be verse 20, right? Okay, 23. One, two, let's read. Unto the Jews what? Stumbling block. Foolishness. So, why does it look like God selected the weakness of this world? Because the wise, what happened to them? They were wise enough to say, this thing does not make sense. It was foolishness to them. So, when he said God chose the basis of this world, God chose people that doesn't matter. He didn't choose the top three richest people in the world to preach the gospel. It's because those top richest too, they have enough information to say that God is dead or there is no God. Are you with me? They are wise enough, they are smart enough to know that, well, I'm healthy. I don't need your God to have money. I don't need your God to have protection. I don't need your God to have safety. I don't need to pray. I have my private jets, you know. I don't need. So they are wise enough to disdain God. So when you are saying that God has chosen some people, is it an experiential choosing? No. Is God active in that selection? No. It is their rejection. Some people's rejection and some people's what? Acceptance of the gospel. So, see verse 30. But of him are you in what? Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us what? Wisdomness, righteousness, sanctification, what? Hallelujah. Next verse, last verse. This one will clear for you. As it is written, he that glorieth, let him what? Glory in the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, Jesus is my wisdom. Say, I'm not wise in my own eyes. Say, it's my righteousness. Say, my righteousness is of him. Say, it's my sanctification. Say, it's my redemption. So, now, write this down. So, the acceptance of the meek and simple-minded is their being chosen.
the acceptance. Like the way the meek and the simple-minded people receive the gospel. That is them being chosen. I don't know how you put that. Let me take it again. The acceptance of the meek and simple-minded is their being chosen. Not a special criteria known only to God. The acceptance of the meek and simple-minded is their being chosen. Not any special criteria known to God. See, don't expect God to be schizophrenic or to be complex or to just be unpredictable. Now God can just let you to preach the gospel. God lets you to go and be playing jazz or go and be smoking weed. No? Say, God is not mysterious to me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. This will be the last one I'll be doing for you. I'll give you an answer now. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. This one is almost the same. Are you there? But as a situation, what happened? Eyes has not seen, nor ears had, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has what? Prepared for them that love him. So, say these things that God has prepared. He prepared it for some certain type of people. He didn't prepare it for those ones. He prepared it for you. It's a quotation from where? Isaiah 64, verse 4. Remember? That's from Isaiah 64, verse 4. So, who are the people he is preparing things for? Are they people just known to him? Just something that you cannot really predict. You cannot enter into it. Some people say, God has inner circle. You cannot enter. He must let you. It's like the man I keep talking about. Entered the church about 15 years ago. Say, all of you, young people like this, say, God cannot be telling you who to marry. It is us, prophets. So God will tell us. So what you do is that, say, if you have three brothers in your mind, you write their name. He said it, I was there. See, you write their name. You come and bring it to us. So we are the one that God can speak to and tell you which of the three. God was selected. But now you bring three sisters to the pastor. And the pastor is already eyeing one of the sisters. That would mean, how many do you bring to the pastor? You brought two. Amen. Because one choice is what? Auto-delete. Say, you want to carry this on? No way. Cancel. There's no prayer there. There's no way the man of God can. God can convince that man of God to. Amen. So that inner carcass, we say Jesus, he has 500 disciples, 70 followers, 12 real disciples. You know, out of that 12, what happened? We have three inner core. Say, brother, which level are you? You know, after the inner core, we see half one that what? Sleeps on his bosom. So, brother, which level are you? Which outer court? How did God select the chosen things? How do you put it? How did he select these people? Let's see it. Amen. Just read next verse. How did God reveal this thing to us? Verse 10. 1-2 go. But God has what? Revealed them unto us by his what? His spirit. For the spirit what? Searcheth all things. Yea, the deep things of God. So who are the people that God prepared things for? Anyone that will receive his spirit. How do you receive his spirit? John 3:16. Simple. You just to be born again. Are you with me? So it's clear that you see God did something. It does not mean that he is directly active in the equation. Now he's saying here that he prepared something for some special people. But who are the special people? Anybody in Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Say, God is not partial. So context will help you. The truth is that God is passive in several texts of the Bible. And please write this down. This one will help you. Since it is God that gave man the right to choose. Since it is God that gave man the right to choose, whether positive or negative. So we can still put his name there. You get that? See, it's God that gave man initially to right to choose, just like you gave a car to an, let me say, an underage driver. And the driver now used the car to commit to enter gutter. You are still responsible, right? Huh? Although you're not the one that drove the car into the gutter. Are you with me? Are you with me? So the prophets, the writers, they were not wrong. I'm not saying they are wrong for putting Jesus in all those texts. No. But because he's the one that gave man the right to choose. So, but don't forget, in the midst of everything, we still see the choice of men in display. Amen. Say the choice of men. So, write down this scripture. So, this is your assignment. You do this for me. You can submit on WhatsApp. You submit on WhatsApp. You can submit in A4 paper. Spiral banded, like a project defense in school. Please, you can do it. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6, write that down. Are you writing? You see, Paul said, I have planted Apollos' water, but God gave the increase. How did God give the increase? Go and find out for me. That's 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 6. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 17. That one is simple. He that defy the temple of God, him shall God destroy. Find out for me how God will destroy him. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 17. That's 1 Corinthians 5 13. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 13. This next one. This one is funny. 1 Corinthians 6 13 too. 6 13. 1 Corinthians 6 13. Meat for the belly and belly for the meat. God shall destroy them both. Find out how God will destroy them and send to me. 1 Corinthians 7 17. 1 Corinthians 7 17. So that the action of God in this place is go and find them. Next, 1 Corinthians 10, 13. How does God deliver us from temptation? 1 Corinthians 10, 13. And lastly, 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Write another scripture. So you read this. So that will mean for you to understand what is will be happening, you be what? You read some verses before, some verses after. What did I say initially? I said context is what? Savior of Bible interpretation. Hallelujah. Thank you. Pray in tongues, everybody. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. I said pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Thank you. Yeah, no story. Oh, glory to God. God's word and God's action. Let's sing together. Cantile Razevete. I understand thee. By his spirit. By his spirit. God is not. Yeah.